we are going to be talking about the concept of law. Concept of law. Psalm 19, verse 7. We there?
Yep.
All right. And the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We saw last week that there is no government, kingdom, that exists without a constitution or covenant. And we now also will understand that there is no society within that government control that can exist either. Because without the rule of law, society would be in chaos, spiraling downward into total turmoil. There are laws, precepts, commands that God has given to us to serve as our protection. And He establishes the law to first protect society, but also to punish evil. And God wants us to understand that He doesn't do this to harm us. He does it so that we can benefit from the law, thereby attaining or fulfilling the destiny that He has called us into, individually and collectively. We see in Psalm 19 through these verses that the law, the statutes, precepts, commands, and ordinances are all reference to the law itself. What is the law? Well, the law is written principles and regulations that are established by government that are applicable for the citizens, and the citizens are obligated to obey. Let me read that again. Written principles and regulations established by government and applicable for its citizens, and the obligation of those citizens to obey. In other words, we cannot declare ignorance of the law. The law is there for us. God says it's there. He has established a law for us. But the interesting thing, and we're going to see this, is that God never intended for us to have a written code of laws. You believe that? It's true. He didn't create Adam and said, read the book. Right? He didn't. He told Adam what he wanted done, and Adam could either obey him or not obey him. But first we have to establish an understanding of what all these things are that I just read about the law. And what are these things? Statutes. What are statutes? Statutes are permanent laws. They can't be changed. Precepts are commandments or direction given as a rule of action or conduct. In other words, the law actually describes what we're supposed to do in any given situation. It tells us. And a precept governs us and tells us how we're supposed to do that. We see in Isaiah the prophet tells us that God teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. In other words, we have to begin to understand how the kingdom operates and how it works. And the only way that that's going to happen is through our understanding of what God requires of us and how to flow in it. Right? I mean, we hear all about it, but we still don't understand how we're supposed to operate as kingdom citizens. But that's what the law is about. Then there's commands. These commands are directed with authority. In other words, when God says, I want you to do this, That's all there is to it. We have to obey. It's what he says. His word is the law of the land. There's no changing his mind. What he says we have to do. And there are many commands in the scriptures that the citizens of the kingdom do not fulfill. Ordinances are decrees, public injunctions, or regulations. In other words, these things govern us for our protection. If we don't know that we need a fishing license, there is a law that tells us why we need a fishing license, what kind of fishing license it is, and how much that license is going to cost in order for us to fish, right? It's simple. That's all it is. Same thing in the kingdom. They're just decrees that we must follow in order to function. And God sets these laws up, or the law up, as a barrier or boundary for us in which we are to operate in. And you guys have known that I've been stressing this thing about boundaries and operating in these things, because if we operate outside those boundaries that God has ordained for us, we are operating in chaos. And God is not the author of chaos. Anytime someone comes into our boundaries that we're trying to operate and trying to invoke their will or their perception on things without operating within the rules of law that God has set for us, they are trying to bring their chaos into our area of peace and tranquility. And we have the right to vanquish them in the name of the Lord. Really, that's the truth. And there's a lot of misunderstanding as to how we're supposed to operate in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we are not supposed to be doormats for someone else's selfishness and self-centeredness. We can help, but we don't have to. We have the option, according to the law, as long as it falls within the boundaries of the law. But Pastor, we're not under law. I'll get to that. I'm just trying to lay the foundation for our understanding as to how God wants us to operate and build our lives. Because there's a right way of building our lives, and definitely we've been operating on the wrong way of building our lives, right? And so what I've seen, and God says all the time, is we have to allow Him to untwist our lives and begin to straighten us out, so that when our lives begin to line up with His will, and it all goes back to the plumb line and the measuring line. How many years ago I preached this? But He's trying to get us back to those standards. And once we are reaching those standards, we can move ahead and build what it is that He wants to build. Amen? I mean, it's that simple, but we are the ones that are out of sorts. We're the ones that don't want to cooperate with God. All creation was designed and built in principles and laws to operate. This was known as natural law. Every time God spoke, there was principles and foundations of things that happened in order for these things to work. When God said, "Let there be light," He didn't describe all the laws and the principles in there. He spoke it, it was. It operates according to the way He wants it done, not the way we want. And so scientists are finding out that not only does light have frequency, we have different types of frequencies, there's different types of light. There's light that we can't even see, but it's still light. There's light that has intensity. And we're realizing that when you mix intensity and frequency, you can make a light that can burn through things. Right? How many of us have taken the proverbial magnifying glass and we try to burn them ants? We know that if we do it long enough, they will cook. And, you know, I've done this, too. I've taken a magnifying glass, and I've fired up on the behind of a tick, and they pop, too. Oh, absolutely, it's cool. That's the principle. Heat up, we boil, pop. Cool. These are laws that God has given to us that we take for granted. And we say that, yeah, that's natural law. I'm not saying it's a law of nature. It is a natural law. And all these natural laws are measurable, they are observable, and they are definitely repeatable. They happen over and over again. We can size them up. We can measure them. And most importantly, we can see that these laws are active. Now, natural law sets the standards for effectively functioning. By that I say, the natural law is that birds fly. Can you imagine if birds didn't fly? Can you imagine a bird driving a car? Really, think about it. A bird driving a car. I've seen Groundhog Day, so I know groundhogs drive. Mm-hmm. And we know squirrels can clap together and cause people to have accidents. With me driving, they'd be part of the road. But we know fishes swim. Birds fly, fishes swim. We breathe oxygen, not liquid. We know that plants grow in sunlight and have water, and they need earth to grow in. These are all natural laws that God has planted. And when we deviate from the natural plans that God has, we are stepping on the sides of chaos. In other words, we are creating a violation of God's natural law as to what is to function and how it's supposed to function. Case in point, who knows what hydroponics is? What's hydroponics? Right. It's an enriched water source that they take all their nutrients from the water. Not necessarily do they need light, but they will use light, but it has no soil. Right? That is in violation to the natural order of what God has. Man thought it was a great idea. If we enrich the water source, we could kill two birds with one stone, and we don't even have to have dirt. It's a clean deal. Right? DNA, cloning is against what God has desired, because what we're trying to do is replicate ourselves without natural order. We replicate ourselves through marriage, and then we have the intimacy and the physical relationship, and children are born, and that's how we replicate ourselves. Science has said, well, we can do better than that. We can take out some of these inferior things in the genes, and we can make a better human being. We can improve on what God has done. The problem is, originally God made it perfect. We screwed it up. So science is only agreeing with God that they're making the natural law of operating, or how things function, bring it into chaos. And the problem is, we're accepting it. That's the problem. Okay? It is dysfunctional. The law is key to a successful existence, and the key to the existence of success is complete obedience to what the law is. The more we obey, the more fulfilled we become, the more we receive blessings. Paul said that the law wasn't for those who follow the law. The law was written so for the lawbreaker. Those of us who obey the law, or the laws of the land, we don't have to sweat the small stuff, because we're doing what the government over us says to do. Well, our government is the kingdom of heaven, says we must operate in certain ways. And what happens is we cloud the issues of our dual citizenship, and we pick and choose what we want. Is it any wonder why our lives are in chaos? There is a right rule and a wrong rule. There is a law that God has set for us in which we are to operate in, but we tend to want to cloud it by improperly functioning in either one of those laws. Amen? I hope I'm getting your attention in this, because you guys are either half asleep or I'm just leaving you in the dust. The law, like I said, is to protect us so that everything functions properly. How are we supposed to function properly? How are we supposed to function properly? I'm glad you asked that question. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." If we want success to function in the laws of the kingdom, we must love our King first. And I believe everyone here loves the King. But I don't believe everyone understands how that translates into our lives. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then Leviticus 19, a couple books in front of that. Leviticus 19. Verse 18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one another, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You see, the natural law that God gave to us was to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus said this. He said that from all the law and the prophets, if you did these two things, you would fulfill the law. Right? That's what he said. But we don't do that. It's impossible for us to fall into the natural law. Because when Adam sinned, he broke the natural law. We don't function the way God designed us. We love ourselves. We turn a love for God and a love for each other into a selfish, self-centered love. We violated the principle of natural law. Can I get an amen? That's right. It's true. We violate it. And we violate it well. We do it really good. We don't function properly. The law was designed to protect the Constitution or the covenant. The laws are to make sure that the provisions of the Constitution or covenant are carried out. God is honoring what He has said for us. We dishonor Him because we don't fulfill what that is that He tells us to do. And since we violate natural law because we're selfish and self-centered, we want God to bless our mess. And God says, I'm not going to bless you. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to bless you. Because you will either do it my way or no way. But Pastor, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and God is blessing me. It's called grace. It's called mercy. He's waiting for you to get your act together and join His team so that He can abundantly bless you. Abundantly cause your life to prosper. Jesus said, my desire for you is to have life and have it in abundance. You see, we settle for just good enough. We settle for satisfaction. We don't settle for what God has desired to give us from the beginning because we're so accustomed to violating His principles and His law that it's okay. And that's why I say you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore because you don't know the saints from the ain'ts. Because the world and the saints are dysfunctional in the kingdom of God. That's nobody's fault but our own. And the church for not providing this. Now let's look at some of the meaning. The Jews used to say that the law was Torah. It was called direction or instruction. And if we look at the law was generally the Pentateuch. And it described everything how we're supposed to function. The problem was they brought it down into legalism. They forgot how we're supposed to function in the natural law. And as we saw in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, we are supposed to function to love God first and love each other second. That puts loving me third. But because we violate God's natural law, we put me first, and everybody else a distant second. It's what's good for me. Who cares what God says? And that's really the truth in how we operate. I know. I'm speaking from experience. Then the Greeks gave a word, noumos or nomos. It means to divide or distribute. of which its root is what we get today as normal. What do you consider as normal? We consider abortion normal, don't we? That's what the world says. But we act like the world. Homosexuality is supposed to be the norm. It's an alternate lifestyle. But God says it's against His original design. Really? Helping one another out. As long as there's something in it for me, I'll help you. The world says that's normal. In the kingdom of God, it is, I lay down my life for you. I lay my life down. Can you begin to start seeing how the normal law of what the world says has crept into the church and has polluted the church's understanding from natural law, what God has, or I would say supernatural law. It's supposed to be contained within our spirits. And yet we mess up time and time and time again. But God's law was designed for us to obey. Then there is ethnos, of which we get the root word, or the root is derivative from ethnos as ethics. Ethics are unwritten rules. And believe it or not, they are the most powerful laws to man. Because there's no one policing them except ourselves and God. Is it all right for a believer to get high? Is it all right for a believer to lie, steal, fornicate, adulterate? Live in fantasy. Worship other gods. It's the God of me, 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 me. But we do it. We do it. And we're dysfunctional. We're dysfunctional in the church. We're dysfunctional in our lives. And we're asking God to bless our mess when we're violating His law. Right? How can we expect God to do something in our lives when we're not willing to allow Him to change them? Which means we have to take ownership and take responsibility of it and say, Father, I've messed up. I ask that You forgive me. We don't do that. It's always someone else's fault. And it only proves how dysfunctional we are. Amen? Adam didn't have any written laws in the garden. Abraham didn't have any written laws. It was only until Moses came with the written law. And that was only because it was birthed out of a rebellion. Hear me. Israel left out of rebellion towards a government that was oppressive to it because it did not know God and it hated the people of God. And so its design was to punish the people of God. And when the people of God left, they did what they did in Egypt. Well, when we came out of the world, we're no different than Aaron and the rest of them making idols for themselves while the man of God is trying to instruct the people of God in how to love God and how to love each other in the natural or supernatural law. Amen? We're no different. But yet we ridicule them because, after all, we're in the New Testament. Well, we're going to get to that too. Amen. God is so wonderful. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "This is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." God's original intent was for us to flow in the supernatural law, the law of the natural. That was His original design. That is His design today. That is His design in the future. He does not change. How do we begin to do this? How do we, as the people of God, begin to flow in the natural or supernatural law of God? We have to first understand that the written law is only needed when the natural law is absent. Because of man's rebellion against God, man destroyed the rule of natural law. It paved the way for the written law to protect society and restrain evil. Because we're selfish and self-centered, we don't want to do what God says because that costs me something. That means I have to die. And the ones that really understand it the most are women because they have kids. And because they have kids, they learn that, you know what, it doesn't matter. Kids are first. My wants and my desires come second. I must take care of my offspring. Guys don't get it because we just pack up and go. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't hold you and me accountable. Because if we're heads of our household, it doesn't matter what goes on. We must serve our spouses first, our children second, and we are last. Those who are unmarried says, well, you know what? I guess I make it out okay. I don't have to do that. Wrong. You serve yourself last. Everybody else is before you. You see, you don't want to serve because you're selfish and self-centered. But through service, you get to understand how the law of love works. And that's the truth. I don't want to do the dishes. Why can't somebody else do the dishes? And we waste hours arguing, and the time that you did, you could have done the dishes, you could have been done. Irene and I like to tell this story about our son. You know, Gary, you need to do your chores. I'll get to him. And then we yell at him an hour later because the chores weren't done. Well, why are you yelling at me? Because we want you to do your chores. If you don't yell, I'll do them. Well, no, we didn't yell. We're yelling because you're not doing them. If you do them, you won't hear anything from us. And all of a sudden, the elevator went up, the light went on, and he found somebody was home. And he did it. You see, the issue is, stop bellyaching and complaining. Just do what you're expected to do because you're fulfilling the supernatural law of love. That's what you're doing. It's all practice for the rest of your life. All ministry starts in the home. If you don't want to practice at home, I hate to see what your home's going to be like when you're out there on your own. Because you're going to take your chaos, and that's all you have is chaos. And the world's standards. Not God's standards. Not God's law. But I love God. Yeah, I believe you do. But you don't understand my needs. God says He's going to meet your needs. You just don't understand. Well, maybe I don't, but I understand God, and I know His Word, and He's true. What is your life built on? Is it built on your needs or is it built on the principles of God? Our emotions and our circumstances will change, but the principles of God never changes. And so what are you building your life on? Oh, I don't know. Well, I can tell you what you're building it on. You're building it on sin. You are setting yourselves up, and Satan is just giving you all the stuff that you want for failure. Oh, it ain't happening to me. May not happen today. May not happen in a week. But I guarantee the further you go down that road, the more certain you are setting yourself up for failure. And the only one you can blame is yourself. And of course, God's going to be there trying to help pick up the pieces and again, trying to institute principles into your life to operate. But until you're willing to put them into your life and take charge of your life, all you're doing is substituting the world's standards for what God says. And you're setting yourself up. I don't want to see that. God definitely doesn't want to see that. But that's how we operate. The written law was given for the purpose of restoring natural law to the human conscience. We lost our own instinctiveness in the knowledge and intuitive understanding of natural law at the rebellion. That which was natural to man became unnatural to man today. It was natural for us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. It was natural for us to love each other as ourselves. It was natural. It is not natural now to love God because no one seeks after God. No, not one. It's not natural for us to love our neighbor as ourselves because We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory. All of us have. And that was the reason why Jesus came. That's why He came to enter Jerusalem. He knew that we couldn't do it. He knew that only through Him that He could restore the natural law or the natural order that God had originally designed for us. You can't do it, I can't do it. We must become that which He has already created us to be. And that is putting on the new man and taking off the old. Throwing away the rules of the world and operating under kingdom principles. Some of those principles the world uses. That doesn't mean we violate them. What it means is we honor God's principles first and above all. And everything else takes a second. If you don't know why you're doing things, then you need to stop doing them and you need to find out what God says about them. That is the truth. God wants quality in people's lives. He doesn't want us living less than what He has designed us to be. Natural law refers to the law of the Spirit or the law of love. This law is a rule and reigns within our spirits, not in our minds. And to be observed by the blessings of others before ourselves. It is to operate in the law of love continuously, is to do away with the written law. For love is the ultimate fulfilling of the law. It is operating in the natural law of God as He intended for us from the beginning. You can't tell me you love God when you're living in sin. You can't tell me you love God when you're in violation of His principles. You can convince yourself that you do, but your actions and your lifestyles are contrary to what God has originally intended. Only through faith in Jesus Christ, only allowing the Lord to begin to direct your life in such a way to bring your chaos into order and begin to function the way He wants it to function, not the way that you want to misinterpret or pull scriptures out to make it read something that it does not read. And we do that well. We do. We try to make God say something that He never said. Because, you see, when we smorgasbord it, we don't back it up with the rest of the Word of God. And you can't take it out of context. You've got to take it for what it says and how He said it. I feel I've been mildly successful in obedience to God, but I've got a long way to go. I've built my life and my family's life on the principles that God has set forth and the understanding that I have, but I've got a long way to go. God is for us. He is not against us. He wants us to operate in love, selfless love, which means I'm out of the equation. It means to sacrifice, not taking temper tantrums. It means to do the things that you don't want to do, but you love God and you love that person who's asking you to do it to be a blessing. It's loving God first because He gave everything for us. And all He asks us to do is to receive what He's done by faith. As kingdom citizens, we are obligated, not by choice or option, to obey just parts of what He says. We are obligated to obey everything that He says. And in those areas where I know God is speaking to you, even right now, you need to get right with God and begin to operate in the things that He's told you to do. Throw away the justification. Throw away the rationalization. Do it what God says to do, and you will receive the fullest benefits and blessings that He wants, not just a piece of it. You know, I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, it's totally in your court. But make no mistake, God will hold us accountable to His law. And that law is the law of love. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law we operate. That's the rules we have here. And it's going to take us a lifetime to get it right. Amen? Amen. Father, I just praise You and I thank You, God, for Your Word. Holy Spirit, where those areas that we're being convicted of, Father, that You would help us. You would help us to begin to build our lives with the principles that You have designed for us. Your thoughts and intents are for our success. Your plans for us is to bless us abundantly. But You will not bless us if we violate those things that You have set up for us. You cannot and You will not violate Your word. For You and Your word are one. God, help us to be one with You. Help us to be one in Your word. Help us to expand our understanding of Your word so that we may understand Your law of love. That Your spirit would be filled within our hearts, God. And that we would fulfill the natural law from the original intent. The law of the Spirit, which is love. I thank You for sending Jesus, God. I thank You for the atonement that You've given to us. But most importantly, God, I thank You that You didn't give up on us. And we're not going to give up on each other. As long as You're in our midst, God, we want to exhort and encourage. And really, Father, we want to edify one another that today's a new day. We can repent and begin to build the way You want it. To bring glory to Your name. To have a people that follow You wholeheartedly. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.